Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast, recorded right here at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. I am your host, Dustin Kaufman. With me today, the hilarious, the wonderful, the beautiful, one of my favorite people in the world, on the planet, and in Kansas City, Miss Janelle Banks.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am jet lagged, but good.
Jet lagged is good.
Yes.
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 You might be our first Kansas City-based comedian to do the podcast so far.
Really?
It's a headline. We had a couple openers. Say again? The competition. Yeah, but like headliner, one-on-one, I think you are our first. This is great.
And oh, sweet.
There's nobody more appropriate to be sitting here today, too. So
it's an honor.
I'm really happy to have you on. You are for those people who don't know, Janelle, you're a national touring headliner, now an international touring comedian. And you have, one thing I love about you as a booker, too, is you have zero ego when it comes to a position on a show. You just want to perform. You just want to work.
Yes.
We headline you. We've given you weekends. But if you can feature, if you can host for people you just want to work with, you just want to not even just be here. You just want to be on stage. You want to be performing. You want to be working.
I just want to make people laugh. That's the goal.
It's a drive that I wish more people had. Do you get the itch when you're not performing?
I do, because I live across the street from a comedy club.
You do. You are my closest comedian in a pinch.
I am walking distance. I can geotag the club from my bedroom. So I tell people I literally live upstairs sometimes, and they believe me. But sometimes I'm like, if I'm not on stage on a Friday locally, I'm like, ooh, I feel bad. But then I do laundry and calm down.
I do laundry. Laundry is not my calming. It's like laundry is like one of those. I guess I don't mind the laundry part. Mm-hmm. It's the folding of the laundry.
Oh, that's the part I hate. But I gotta like have outfits for stage. So I gotta clean them, you know.
You're also doing what? Laundry for one?
Yes.
I have no less than 5 loads of laundry if on laundry day. I have myself, 2 kids, plus sheets and towels. It is, and I finally got to the point where I was like, okay, y'all are going to be putting these away.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Train them young.
Train
them. Or at least make them sort them out.
Dude, they're good. They, like, I have them on, like, for, like, I'll cook dinners and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh-hoo. But then, like, oh, you feed your kids. But then, like, dishes, I have them doing dishes and they rotate, so they'll like one will put the clean ones away, one will like load the dinner dishes into the dishwasher and run it.
I love that.
It helps me. I've had to elicit the help, and I've had to hire my children as help. Like, I was I can't do this. I'm doing this alone, but I can't do this by myself.
I sound like Florida, and I love that for you.
I sound like Florida.
Yeah, child labor is pretty cool these days.
Come on, keeping a clean room.
I'm sorry.
And doing
I'm
dishes sorry. Is hardly child labor.
You're right.
It started right. over COVID.
You're right. As long as you're not waking them up in the middle of the night like some parents used to do.
Oh, my God. Did your parents wake you up to do chores?
I heard that my grandmother may have woken my mother up in the middle of the night. And, you know, there's some resentment, I think. But
to do chores?
Yeah.
Not you, though.
No.
What kind of chores are you being woken up to do?
I mean, just those simple things that you did not do that you were told to do before you went to bed.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, like your dishes or putting your clothes up, you know, nothing extreme. Like they didn't have to go cut the grass. But
it's get up, get out of it. No, for me, when my kids are in bed, they're in bed. My time, my night starts like when they go to bed.
Yeah. Well, in the 60s, too damn bad.
So what I'll do is, you're coming straight home, and this is getting done. There will be no video games, no phone, no TV, nothing until your chores are done the next day. That's how I handle that. Mm-hmm. Get your 10 hours. Get your 9. You get your sleep. I'm going to get my time, and then we'll deal with this tomorrow.
Cool. Are you taking any adults? I mean, because I can do some dishes if you want to pay the rent.
I pay all the rents.
Yes. All right. I am the same height as one of your children. Let me in.
Oh, is that true?
I'm pretty sure.
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'2" and a half. Probably now 5'2". Yeah. We'll take
my 9-year-old is like 5'1" plus.
Okay. So we're in there.
And my 11-year-old is probably like a clean 5 foot or something.
Okay. So I'm a 12-year-old.
Nine-year-old?
You're nine. I'm
nine. You're tall. I have an abnormally tall 9-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I could do it.
He stands up straight. We've talked about posture. He's really reaching for the star. His school friends are like, they come over and I'm like, they're just tiny. They're so tiny, these little third grade, and they're literally just up to here, chest height. Like, what is...
It's a thing. Like, I've literally been the same height since I was in second grade.
I think he'll stop growing at a certain point.
Yeah.
I was taller at a younger age and then just stopped. I don't know. It could have been cigarettes. I don't know, but I just stopped
growing. Well, I didn't smoke cigarettes.
But you stopped growing. What's my problem?
I was a giant in elementary school. Like, I literally towered over. I had a special desk. Yeah. I had a teacher's chair because I was literally this height in second grade. And then I literally stopped growing in the third grade.
All right. So maybe it wasn't the cigarettes. I just had a teacher one time.
I was around a lot of Benson Hedges smoke, though.
I had a teacher one time going, it'll stunt your growth when I was like 13, 14 or something. And so I just always was like, well, it must have stunted my growth.
Yeah, yeah.
That one lady was right.
Yeah, yeah. She was right. She got us.
She got me. Mm-hmm. But you didn't smoke.
I didn't, but I was around a lot of secondhand smoke because back in the 80s and 90s, you could just smoke anywhere. You smoke in the car with your kids. It wasn't frowned upon.
That's why I like the winter time because, like, I do have kids, so I can't smoke in the house, right? Mm-hmm. But in the wintertime, I can turn on the fireplace and it just pulls all the smoke right out. Nice.
You hear that? See? Yeah. Nothing. Nothing to see here. Nothing.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
A few days a year when you get those days where it's like snow, just like a foot of snow, you're not going outside. The garage is 0 degrees. You're like, I'm just going to be at the fireplace if you need me watching TV.
Right, right. I don't have a fireplace, but I love my apartment. Like, I have made a cozy little home. But again, because your club is so close, I don't mind getting out in the snow. It's only going to be 10 minutes at the most, you know. So
That is one thing that's nice about where I live now is I don't have to get on the highway to be here in 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's nice. Speaking of smoking, you just went to Paris.
Yes.
Wee wee. Do a lot of people smoke there still?
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of
Absolutely.
People.
And what's crazy.
Probably hand rolled too.
No, just regular cigarettes. Marlboros were very popular. Pall Malls were very popular. And their cigarette boxes, literally, like, you know how we have the Surgeon General's warning in words?
Yeah.
They have pictures.
Like the deaths.
Yes. Picture. They literally have, like, somebody in a hospital with a tube, or they have, like, a child with a tube on their box of cigarettes as their Surgeon General's warning. And it's like, people are still like, and you can literally, I mean, at restaurants, just everywhere, it's very common.
I guess words don't mean as much as little Johnny on an iron lung.
They literally give you a visual aid and those people, but they're so healthy. Like, you know, I guess cigarettes are not a problem.
I've been talking to my doctor about this too, about quitting smoke. Like, I went to an event. I went to WrestleMania. I'll say it. I went to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. You got money.
And I was lower bowl, not on the floor. I was lower bowl, maybe like far down on lower bowl. Mm-hmm. Walking up all those stairs to go outside and smoke, let me know how much I shouldn't be walking up those stairs to go smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and that was real. That was a couple weeks ago. It was like, this is... this shouldn't feel like this.
Right, right.
Well, like, at this age. And so my doctor gave me, Butrin a few months ago to, like, try to quit. And, like, I hated the way it made me feel.
Really?
I hate it. So, like, 3 days, I'm like, get it off. I don't want to take this medicine. And he's like, I can't legally recommend or approve vaping, but a lot of people have found success getting off cigarettes through vaping and then weaning off to a lower end, to zero nicotine kind of a thing.
Okay.
So
okay.
I might try that.
Okay.
But let's you, Paris, you had to perform in Paris. You've been to Canada. Now you went to Paris. You're going to go back to headline in Canada.
Yes.
You're all over the world. You're all over the place.
We're doing Mexico in August.
Are you really?
I'm on a cruise ship, so I'm excited.
Wait, you got on the cruises?
I'm not on a cruise per se, like line. I'm not doing that. I am just entertaining a family on a cruise. So.
You're going on a cruise with a family.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm excited.
Is it your family?
No. It's actually a fan that I've met that has been coming to my shows from city to city.
You had a fan.
Yes.
Reach out.
Yes.
And say, hey, we'd like you to, we'll pay your way to come with us.
Well, I'm not, they're not paying my way.
Well, but okay, but
I'm included in the discount.
Then what is the term? Do you actually have to entertain them, or you're just going to be there with them?
I'm going to be there with them, but there are some other things and opportunities and shows set aside, so I'm excited.
Not with the family. The family's like, no, we're going to bring you, but you got to do a set for us every day.
Kind of, but not right. No,
but
no.
You're paying your own
money. No, I'm saying that I'm on included. A vacation. I'm included. So you get jokes. Yeah, you get jokes where you get jokes. If you don't,
if you're there, there's jokes anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like they're going to sit around and watch you perform. That's it.
Exactly.
They are not.
I mean, they are, but it's not like.
For them?
Yeah, for them as a private thing, but it's not like I'm tied to the cruise ship. I don't want to be like, yes, I'm on Carnival Cruise.
No, I don't take it as a Carnival Cruise. Yeah. I take it as like you have been brought along as like
a. Yeah, but I'm still paying my own way. Still a little vacation for me, but I still get paid.
That you should,
but not.
Janelle, you should not be paying. If you have to perform for these people.
What I am saying is I'm going on a vacation. I'm going on a vacation with a family that I was invited with, and I'm going to be funny in the process.
Under the terms that you have to do a set for
no!
them?
No! Okay.
They never said that.
No! They never said that. I'm saying I'm going to go be funny for them, then I'm officiating their wedding, which I am getting paid for.
On the cruise ship?
No.
Okay.
Outside the cruise ship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going in your fun self, and then later you will marry them.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you made it sound like
a little like comedy slavery. No.
I wasn't gonna say it.
No. No.
So Paris, you did Don't Tell.
Yes. Don't Tell
in Paris. God, how was that turnout?
It was a sold out crowd. Beautiful, beautiful club. Kind of gives you kind of New York vibes, but at the same time, just typical Perry. What I love there is the music. They are like stuck in 80s R&B rock, and it's you just groove out. Like, it's nostalgic but fun, but like, an amazing
Run
crowd.
DMC, Aerosmith.
Yes, yes. So fun times. The crowd completely sold out again, but I think Don't Tells are so in small intimate places. It's pretty easy to sell them out, and the plus it was an English speaking crowd, so there was no translation involved.
And then you did a second show?
Yes, yes.
On an English night at a club?
Yes.
What was the club?
It was, I'm going to butcher the name, Paristocrates?
Okay.
Yes, Les Paristocrates. Yes, whatever. I don't know.
Crates, is that comedy?
I guess.
I don't know. I don't know French.
I don't know, but it's like a... They have a comedy club, but they do pop-up shows at different venues. Kind of like Don't Tell as well. So the place was called the Bootleg Bar. And literally when I walked in, there's like a group of dudes screaming, singing a song about going back to Istanbul.
Oh my God.
But then you go downstairs into like this cave and boom, comedy club. And it was nice. It was pretty cool.
What was it like performing in Paris? Even I know it's an English show, but you're still, it's a very, you've done New York a lot too. Mm-hmm. And really nothing teaches you to be more like universal than performing, because you are performing to people all over the world. So what was it like going from, I mean, even with the New York experience, but going from Kansas City to like an audience in Paris?
It was, I mean, it just, it felt like any other show. I think I had time to kind of just interact with the audience before the show because we were in such a small space. So you kind of just talk to people. They know you're American, so they want to ask questions. Which was really cool about the second show, a comic that I knew from New York was just in town visiting, doing like sightseeing concerts. And he was like, do you think I can get on the show? I'm like, you know, here's the producer, hit him up. He comes to the show and brings like a whole crowd of New Yorkers.
Really?
So it just really felt like just being here in the States somewhere, you know, doing
comedy. You had an up comedy on that one because you had a bunch of American audience.
Yeah. So, but they're so receptive. They do ask questions after your set because they were like, I was trying to figure out what this meant. Like, I kept saying things were stupid. And they were like, we couldn't understand what the stupid meant. Like, because stupid's bad. But then the way you guys were saying it, it was like, you know.
Aren't you listening to 80s hip hop? What are we
right,
talking?
You know? So they were like, we figured it was a positive thing. And I was like, well, this is how black people laugh. You know, we say that's stupid or that's dumb, or we kind of take off running. They were like, we did see y'all get out of y'all seats a lot, you know? So just kind of explaining to them how we interpret laughter, or how it's not just the LOL. You're going to get a catchphrase with it, you know? So
like earlier you told me to stop it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but it's going so, and you're like, that's how we say.
You're doing good. You're keep doing going. Yeah.
Why don't you just say that?
I mean, would it sound fresh if we just was like, yeah, keep going, Dustin Young. I love it.
They told me to stop. I just, he quit comedy. He sold the club.
It's just saying you doing so, like, you so fly. You better cut it out for you. You know, like, for you. Get you out, you know. You better stop it for somebody to come get you for being that dope, you know.
I understand.
Yeah.
So performing there. Fun. Both shows just different but equally a good time.
Yes.
And then how long were you there?
Oh my gosh, because it's such a huge time difference. Three and a half days. Lot of sightseeing. As soon as I got off the plane, we literally dropped our things off and went to the Eiffel. So in between.
Did you go with somebody?
I flew out with a friend from college.
Okay.
And then my aunt met me there. She like flew to London and crossed over.
Really?
And the beautiful thing is I met a lot of comics that I've worked with before at comedy festivals or other shows. We just all met and took on Don't Tell Comedy. I got to meet some new comics, but some of us did know each other. So it's pretty cool.
And then what about some of the tell me about the foods you ate.
Okay, so I'm going to keep it real. I didn't really eat in Paris.
Wait,
that
really?
Was not a good experience for me.
I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Everything kind of has meat in it wherever you go. And I can do seafood. So I tried to order a salmon club sandwich. The salmon was raw. So I was like, oh, okay, so French fries. So I pretty much just lived off croissants and water. Like, I will not lie. But I just was having so much fun. It didn't really... You know, I like croissants.
I was going to say, croissants sound good.
Yeah, like, so I was good, but I am still hungry. I'm not going to lie. I've been like, since I've came back, I've been like, yeah, I'm going to get a snack. I'm going to get another one. I'm going to keep eating because I feel like I'm trying to catch up. So.
You didn't find anything that you're like, oh, this is good?
I mean, it wasn't, it just, I was so much on the go, and I never wanted to be the person that was like, well, I can't eat this.
You don't
and
eat
I can't
eggs
eat that.
And stuff.
I
so.
Do. I did have a really good crepe? Omelet.
Crepe?
No, I don't
it was
like
an
crepes.
Omelet? It was an omelet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did have a really good cheese and egg omelet. Bomb bomb. Their eggs are a whole nother, like their eggs, you can just tell that they were nurtured, cared for.
The chickens?
Yeah, they came from like a 2-chicken home, private school, like hung out with other animals, very diverse, hung out with like ducks, hung out, you know what I'm saying? Geese, like those chicken, like they, I mean, even when you saw them in the carton on the street, because, you know, they just sell their food like right there on the street, like we sell our drugs. And it was just like, I was just like, these eggs. You know, we hide our eggs in a carton. We don't even know what we're going to get. You know what I'm saying?
They come from a group home.
Yeah. Like, our eggs are very, very, very traumatized. They crack themselves with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, systematic eggs in them cartons.
Divorced
but over
parents.
In Europe, them eggs are free. They're living a good life.
And you can tell the difference.
You can tell the difference. You can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably true about a lot of foods there, just cleaner and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good omelets. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the highlight.
Yeah, but them croissants hitting no matter where you get them from.
Yeah, raw salmon. I cooked salmon last night. For dinner, and it was a little under. I was like, you know, I'd rather, if I'm gonna grill, because I'll do like a Cajun, usually a Cajun seasoning or Creole or something like that on a salmon too, blacken it up a little bit.
Yeah,
so I would prefer it a little overdone than a little underdone.
Yeah, that I literally put my tongue to it and felt like Ariel immediately under the sea. I was like, oh no, this is not. I'm not that grown yet. I can't. And on bread, that's insane. This is borderline Jeffrey Dahmer behavior. I'm not doing that. No. With the tomato and chips, no.
Aren't you supposed to wrap that in rice?
Something. And just, you know what I'm saying? Like a little steam.
Put a little cream cheese in there.
If some cream cheese was involved, I might have been. But I'm like on a baguette with a tomato and a side of chips. No, you're trying to turn me into something I'm not. I know cannibalism when I see it.
And then you're going to Canada. You're going back to Canada. We're headlining.
Yes, we're going to work out some dates in Winnipeg and hopefully some more places. I'm hoping to go back to Saskatoon. They really liked me there. And Kelowna is so far out, but I'm game.
Yeah.
Game. So
what did you like about, cause like my boys and I just got passports like just like a few weeks ago. So like, I don't know if we're going to use them this summer or maybe look for something later on in the year, but we have them now. And one of the first things I looked at was, are there any wrestling shows up in Canada? I know it's a big Canada town. WWE has a couple late August, but there's also just a lot of like independent organizations in Canada, right? So I was like, and so that was one of the first places and maybe easiest travel points too. I was like, well, maybe we could start with Canada. So was there anything that you like outside of the comedy? Is there anything that you enjoyed about just the culture or the scenery or the views or the foods? Tell me about food.
Food was bussing. I did eat very well in Canada. I love the Uber experience there. Like Uber, as soon as you ordered the Uber was outside. Like gratification. Like they did not play. Like when they said we have a driver 1 minute away, done deal.
So the Freaky Fast logo for Jimmy John's in America, they sold that logo and method to Uber in Canada.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Because Jimmy John's now here takes forever. There is no more Freaky Fast.
It's
Freaky Fishy.
Freaky Fishy.
It takes so long.
It was good. Like the Uber Eats was good, super fast. The food was good. It just was a lot of different things to try. My favorite part though, hands down, is just the fan experience. Like performing and literally walking off the stage and your phone is pinging because people are following you or like, oh my God, I'm in the audience and I loved you or oh
Wait,
my God.
Really?
I've never experienced that.
That's supportive.
That extreme, like my viewership and followership increased. Like I think I had the most exposure that I've ever had in my comedy career on social media being in Canada. You know, here after shows, people will tell you good job, you know, but they're invested. They want to follow you. They want to know where you're going to be. Even if you're not in a city near them, they just want to like, good luck on the show. Have a good, like, oh my God, I like your outfit. They're just a very supportive group of people when it comes to like following comics and up and coming comics. And they'll tell you like, I had no idea who you were, but like, I want to be in your world now, you know? So I think that was the best part.
This sounds really exciting. I love that you are doing all of these travels now. And I just love seeing your growth. I know that We got you into was it Stir Crazy in Phoenix, just to see you out in New York, traveling nation, headlining everywhere. I mean, you're sincerely you murder every time.
Oh,
like you adapt to any audience. Everybody loves you. Do you think that you adapt to the audience, or you are just a person and have an act that everybody wants to get behind and support? Do you actually find yourself adjusting? Ooh, you?
Question. I feel like I do adjust myself. I'm such an empath that I feel like I have to adjust and adapt to every, you know, setting in a show, you know, and of course, as comics, we don't really see the whole crowd. But them first tables, you know, they kind of set the tone. And if you feel uneasy or I see something, I'll be like, let me shift. You know, I've never been one of those comics that's like, it's the crowd. It's the crowd. You know, I definitely want to always, like, I'm like a HR specialist. I want to make sure everybody is, you know, having a great time and experience, you know, and so I kind of try to adapt, but I still try to stay authentic to who I am. Because after all, you know, you came to see, well, you came to see the headliner, but here I am.
You're doing a lot more crowd work too these days. And it's not like the main part of your act by any means, but I've noticed that you're using it as a tool more than a crutch. Not at all. It's not a crutch at all, but I've noticed you use it as a tool more often these days. Do you think that helps you in connecting with different audiences, just taking a minute to be able to talk with them and have fun dropping the script and just having fun with them as the people?
Absolutely. I started out as a crowd work comic and I got cussed out by so many comics because they were like, you cannot rely on doing crowd work your whole set. And I was just like, well, that's kind of how I started comedy, you know? So now trying to lean back into it, but not necessarily rely on it, it just helps me formulate a bit or come up, where should the next bit go, or how can I engage and bring you into that bit, you know? So it just helps me kind of build rapport with the audience, and then hopefully they remember me, or hopefully that part of the show impact them. Like, I like people to go home and talk about what I said. Like, I love being called crockpot everywhere I go, you know? Or like people talking about
that's a wine. Memorable joke.
Yeah, you know, but yeah. I want, you know, when we look at comics from the past or just huge comics, they always have these catchphrases, right? Or these moments that they bring us into their show. And so I think that's my focus. I don't, you know, I'm not a huge social media girl. I'm not, you know, but if you can remember a catchphrase and take it with you, I'm like, I feel like my job is done, you know.
What do you have coming up that you're looking forward to?
Oh, gosh. I'm embarking on a 8-9 city tour, but 6 of them are with Pinky Patel. Okay. I'm super excited. I get to do clubs that I haven't done yet. I finally get to get into the Houston Improv. I've been trying for years. So I'm super excited about that. And just opening up with Pinky is just definitely opened, you know, a whole new world and just a whole new crowd base. I was actually
staying down in Houston during Katrina, right after Katrina, mm-hmm. is when I was there. So, man, I saw a lot of like New Orleans comics, like transplants coming over there, yeah. Doing the mics and just like talk. You know, it was a wild time to be there. Where can people find you?
Oh my gosh, I'm on all social media platforms, introverted and extroverted. It's Miss Just Laugh, MissJustLaugh, or MissJustLaugh.com. Or Janelle Banks. And if you just Google me, you'll find me. It's not hard. The IRS did, so you'll find me.
Janelle, I love you. Thank you for doing this.
I love you more.
And man, congratulations on everything.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me a comedy home. It is so appreciated. Dustin plucked me off a random show and was like, you should do some shows here. And we've been, what, like 3, 4, 5, I don't know.
Recorded an album here. You've just
And I just met the film crew in Paris for my comedy special. So I might be bugging you to use your space.
Oh, sure. Let's do it.
Oh,
yes. All right. Follow us, like, subscribe, so share with your friends. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.